Hello, this is Errol Strider, co-host of Inside Out, The Naked Truth, which you are about to hear. If you like our program or if you have comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at estrider@gmail.com. That's estrider@gmail.com. Or go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, and check out our other programs and resources. In the meantime, enjoy the program.
It's Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and it's November 10th, 2015. Yes, Inside Out, The Naked Truth is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California. Here at Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises. In other words, we care about the human condition, and we want to do as much as we can, because we're part of it, to make it function as best as it can.
In other words, we want to be able to, well, for example, with this show, we are going to use the focus of, in other words.
Everything he can say, I can say in another word.
We're going to have multiple words happening tonight, so I hope you're up for that. And to kind of set the tone for where I'd like to see us go is, quote, one of the most famous passages from the Bible, and kind of sets the stage for where we're going tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning was God. Or, in other words, en commencement était la parole, était parole, était auprès de Dieu. Elle était au commencement auprès de Dieu.
In other words, we belong to the mystery, and the mystery is who we are. We're indefinable, and as long as we keep trying to define ourselves, you know what happens? We're not in the mystery.
We just slip right out of that definition, fast as you can.
That's right.
I heard a version of, in the beginning was the Word, in other words, in the beginning was the reason.
What does that mean?
Let's find out. It's fabulous. If you're like pining away and you want to know, God, there must be a reason. Well, in the beginning was the reason. What that has to do with is meaning. In other words, having meaning in your life.
In other words, what? What do you mean by having meaning in your life? It's just as obscure to me as reason itself.
So let's try some other words.
Thank you. Let's give me some other words.
Guy is walking down the street and he bumps into another guy. His first reaction is to pop him one because he just had a bad day. He just came from the office. His wife was nagging him on in the morning. You know, he's got a 14-year-old girl teenager who's got attitude coming up to her eyeballs. And he bangs into this guy and he just wants to slug him because it was his opportunity to release all that energy. But he doesn't. He has some control and he goes, excuse me. And the other person smiled, said, no problem. To me, that was a meaning-packed incident. And meaning comes when we have the opportunity to make a choice for a different reason than the first choice, which was to pump him to get rid of my anger. But the second choice was, I'll choose connection.
In other words, one choice is fear-based, and the other choice is love-based. That's all I care about, you know, that I have to recognize when I am coming out of fear, when my action is coming out of fear, when my words are coming out of fear, At that moment, I can make a choice. And how I make the choice is I recognize where I am and I embrace it. And the minute I embrace fear, which in this case is a false fear, it disappears. And I am in a state of love for having embraced it.
What do you say about that, Professor?
Your other words, Professor.
You want me to be able to articulate in some fashion on the whole consequence and the effectiveness and the reality, actually, of words and when they're reinterpreted. In other words, you'd like me to make it clear how we often seek to use other words because it's quite clear that the words we're using, or at least apparently, aren't getting through because the person in front of me still wants to bang me with the pot. That's when I'd say, in other words, to see if I could find some other words that would restrain this person from banging me on the head with the pot. That would be an example, you see, of the necessity of finding other words.
Are you finding other words in that instance because you're afraid to get hit on the head with a pot?
Exactly.
That just contradicted what I said.
Those are in other words. In other words aren't locked into having to be the complement or in agreement with the first words. They could be entirely different words, even in contradiction to those words.
Well, obviously, if they're in contradiction, they'll really be different words.
Exactly. So you have a range of possibility when you say in other words.
But I find the fun, the game, is finding other words to say things we agree on.
In other words, you would like to have the competition where everyone wins.
In other words, I don't want competition.
In other words, you want a kind of smooth-flowing, interactive, mutually supportive, facile, gushy, symphonic, color-toned, walking down the street together hand in hand. Those words.
No, I'd say it very differently. In other words, what I'm talking about is not pushing off anything. It's creating a symphony in which there are, yeah, lots of different sounds, but they all work together to create music.
In other words, hi, this is Barney. I think maybe, Professor, if I could help you out here just a minute here, because what she's trying to say is the words that go together, like in the sentence that I'm using right now, for example, the words kind of go together. See how they went together and they go in the two and they together and they all kind of went together. See, you understand? Of course I understand. I see the possibility of words all linking together, but I just want to hold out for the also possibility that things could be in other words, but not necessarily in agreement. Well, of course that's what it is, isn't it, darling? You want them in agreement.
Of course. In other words, what I'm talking about has to do with where I want to go. In other words, you could have disagreement. Of course, it's absolutely true. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on all the different words that we can use to say we can be in agreement, we can be peaceful together, we can be creative together, we can be in a state of love. And how many different ways can we say that?
I got the word for you. Delicious.
I have a friend who says juicy, and I really understand when she says
that. Yeah, I remember you talked about her last week. How are you doing out there? Well, I've got a word here that often is quite lovely to consider. And that is the word germane.
Germane.
It's not a word we use very often. Being germane is kind of like, what, essential. Don't you love the words here? Words are fantastic. Short words, long words. Let's just take a minute. Maybe, Errol, I'd like to play something here about, well, in this case, long words.
I've been afraid of big words since I was a kid. I thought that I'd get over it, somehow I never did. Usually it's no big deal, but every now and then you're audaciously loquacious, it kicks in again. I went to a specialist and said, what's wrong with me? Based upon your test results, it's not hard to see. You're afraid of lengthy words, you're not the only one. Here's what your condition's called, but this won't be much fun. Hippopotomonstrosess, quipedaliophobia. Hippopotomonstrosess, quipedaliophobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's what you should know. Hippopotomonstrosess, quipedaliophobia. not even joking, believe it or not. Though it's absurd, that's the word, I don't like it a lot. There's one thing I know for sure, so listen if you please. Whoever came up with the word did not have the disease. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's one you should know. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. I was in my science class when I started screaming. It was cause of a video the teacher was streaming. It was about a lung disease, I hope they all get better. But whoever named it gave it way too many letters. I mean really, who would name a disease pneumono ultra microscopic silico volcano coniosis? Not very sensitive to people who have hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's one you should know. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's one you should know. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. If you're afraid of big long words, here's one you should know. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia. Hippopotamonstrosis, crepidaliaphobia.
Oh my God. I just kept thinking of them having to rehearse this before they actually counted down and to say those letters, those words, over and over and over again until they didn't make a mistake. I can't even imagine it.
This is called the long word song. Hippopotamonstrosquepidaliaphobia.
Oh, my God.
In other words, pneumonia ultramicroscopic silicovolcano coniosis. That was the word he identified in there, the lung disease.
My mouth just fell open.
It makes your mouth want to go for a walk.
So many words. My mouth fell open, not for the word, but that you know it and well, could say it without reading it.
Well, it just so happens, aside from my desire to have you think that I'm just brilliant, I actually learned that like 45, 50 years ago. What surprises me, I thought to re-look it up, because that was a long time ago, to see if it still is the longest word in the English language. And I was happy to hear these fellows sing this wonderful song about pneumonia ultramicroscopic silicovolcano coniosis. Yes.
I can't believe it. Who are these guys?
It's something you have to be careful to get when you walk through an area where
I hope
the...
speak this correctly and not make a joke. Don't
just
make
a minute.
Joke.
No, when you walk through the area where the dust has been tinged by obnoxious words.
Oh, Errol, I want to really know where that word came from. What does it mean?
We'll get back to it.
Don't get back to it.
It's a lung disease. A silica volcano coniosis is like a sort of like
lung
a pneumonia.
Disease.
Silica dust in your lungs, silica coniosis, and they're always putting coniosis. No, they are. They're always putting isis, bronchitis, pneumonia, is. They're always putting is on the words. Speaking of is, let me
could
just...
Could you tell me who sang this song?
I will. Just a minute. I'll get there.
You said that 10 minutes ago.
I will. Speaking of words, I had this insight the other day that when we're grasping for the reason, we often find ourselves reaching in vain. For every time I try to get a finger hold, what comes up is all the same. It's just a lot of phenomenon dancing around itself. Bumbling along, singing a song, and then put it up on the shelf. Well, it wasn't very good, but...
You came up with that?
Yes. Just now, actually.
Just now. Well, yes. I felt like it was
I felt like I was about
good.
6 years old coming up with that. But the thing I wanted to say, and I could sum it up.
Actually, but really? Then again, I like six-year-olds.
I had this sense of the paradox that we're in between the isness of life and the busyness of life.
Busyness of life?
The busyness of life. In other words...
You mean busyness, but you're saying it differently?
I'm saying it because it's a play on the word isness, biz-isness. You see how they're different? In other words, Let me see if I can explain it a little differently.
You can definitely explain it differently.
Just a minute. Father, you want to? Come on in. This is Father O'Malley. Oh, sure, it's Father O'Malley here. I just want to say, because Errol and I were talking about it there, the isness has to do with the ever-ongoingness of the constant now that's with us all the time there, that we're all kind of abiding in, and it's just there, and we kind of sit on it, or it sits on us, or something like that. And then there's all the activity, the busyness, the commentaries, the activity, the choices, the decisions that life forces, the intermingling. There's all of that. And we live in this paradox all the time. Most of us give most of our attention to the busyness, as you said there. I like it, busyness. We are reminded to live a life of balance. You need to drop into that still center in the center of your being, which is the isness, which is just I am that I am. There you have it.
I'm glad you remembered that, Father. I would have been very shocked if you'd forgotten. I know when I first read that, I am that I am, I thought, oh my God, that is so amazing. What definition can you make out of I am that I am? If that isn't a wonderful definition of love, I don't know any.
Well, you reminded me of that passage, I think, in the Bible somewhere, where it says, don't give God a name. In other words, don't put a word on
a definition.
God.
In other words, I would say it.
Yeah, or as they say, I'm not sure who they are, but I heard them say, if you see the Buddha on the road, kill him.
It's always thinking that I know something. And it's one thing to know something for, you know, a little bit, you know, a recipe, you know, a poem. But think that you know something and realize that you are now a full pot and therefore you cannot fill it up anymore.
In other words, you have to empty yourself, and that's where you go to that still point. It's like where you can do a flush on everything you think you know in an instant of abandonment to the utter unknowing.
Some people have so much stuff that has to be flushed that they need many flushes.
I do. Wait a minute. I've been known as a four-flusher, actually. But that's another lifetime, another story. Speaking of poems, I just want to say this poem. It's called A Child to Come, that I wrote when my son was about to arrive, my first son. My child is coming soon, some slippery thing I expect, without much sight or knowledge. I'm not sure what to feel about him. Oh yes, it's a him. Modern science, you know. So, he has a name more than an abstraction. I'm waiting for him to come and teach me what it is to be a father, so that I can understand mine, who waits for me to see and know and respond to him as his son, as his son.
I don't even have other words for that. It's so interesting talking about words. There are so many words that describe this phenomenon we call God, which is a word. It's Allah, whatever. So many different words to speak of God. So if you think of God as a mystery, what word could you possibly use?
A mystery.
That's right. So it's another word.
In other words, here's another word that you could use. Well, it's not exactly a word, it's a syllable, but it goes something like this.
It's more than a syllable. It's an irritation.
Or, you can't see this, but when you do this to your lips, you can hear it. That's another, not exactly a word, but it's a way of arriving at that space of letting go of all your perceptions and all our meanings that we put on all that, and really being still.
In other words, it's very difficult. But it's something to strive for,
well,
that's for sure.
God knows I tried. Mm-hmm.
to red, blue, and yellow skies. It's so crazy, I could drink it like tequila sunrise. Put on that Hotel California, dance around like I'm inside. I feel free when I see no one, and nobody knows my name. God knows I live, God knows I die, God knows I bed, borrow and cry. God knows I love, God knows I love, God knows I love. God gave me love, and God knows I try, God knows I try. God knows I try. Sometimes I wake up in the morning to red, blue, and yellow lights. On Monday they destroy me, but by Friday I'm revived. Put on that Hotel since I found my fame. God knows I live, God knows I die, God knows I love, God knows I love.
God knows I try. And that was Lana Del Rey.
Thank you very much, Lana Del Rey.
And thank you, Bryant Odin, for that wonderful song about long words. And speaking of long words, Gretchen Felixhofer called me today. She had been talking to Professor Schnitzel. It reminded me that he could be here tonight. So, Professor Schnitzel, you got some words and other words for us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are having words, and we have other words, and then we have in other words. So the thing I would like to say about in other words is that when you get inside the words, you see, then you're in the other words. So if the other word is pineapple, for example, you get into inside the pineapple, and you look around the word, and you see what's doing in the word. And then you'll see that there's the letters, and that's the alphabet, and they're reminded that there wasn't always letters and alphabets. There was banging on poles, and people were talking that way and making gobbledygook sounds. Although, to them, they didn't sound like gobbledygook. They sound like, well, words, in other words.
I mean, somebody, in other words, might think that what we're saying is gobbledygook.
Exactly, and I would suggest,
You suggest what?
What were you going to suggest, Herr Schnitzel?
I was going to suggest that the entire progress of language was basically a continuing of saying, in other words. They would start off with little words, little tiny words, and then they would try to say something more about more stuff that they were encountering, and so they had to look up in other words. So,
I mean, when you think of how many words there are, I can understand that. Just that phrase, in other words, leads to other words.
Exactly. And you have to remember that not just in your language, but that they have now 200 and some odd languages around the world, and that doesn't include the dogs that can talk, because there are dogs talking these days, and they're teaching them in other words than barking.
I do think it's amazing that language exists and that we are able to communicate via language. I mean, there's millions of ways to communicate, but language is one of them, and it's probably the most used way of communicating in the world, no matter what language it is that you speak.
When you think about somebody who's listening to language, like you and I, for example, in this moment, you're basically just sitting there, assuming you're having a conversation and you're not busy doing something else or being distracted. The human experience physically is one of just sitting there or standing there. Most conversations, or many, let's say, looking at it as an outsider, like from an alien. Do we have any aliens here? You know, I think we do.
I am an alien.
I think we do. I think we've got an alien robot. Do you have something?
Yes. Humans can only use words that are to you.
That's helpful. That's really helpful. I'm not sure how it's helpful.
In other words, I think what he was saying was that communication works best when the words are spoken are familiar to each other. In other words, if I was using words that you didn't understand and we're trying to have a conversation, it would be very difficult. But if you are familiar with the words I'm using, we actually are conversing.
It reminds me of that wonderful scene from Shakespeare's Henry V. Henry has just defeated the French. You may remember that famous movie with Kenneth Branagh, Henry V. So he's conquered France. Good day's work. And one of the many times that they went at it together, and he meets the French princess. He's going to marry her. So he starts off, he's trying to speak in French, and he says, Donne plus belle Catherine du monde, mon très cher et divine déesse. And he gets so frustrated. Then he goes into, Now fie upon my false French. By mine own true English I tell thee I love thee, Kate, by which I dare not swear thou lovest me, but my blood begins to flatter me that thou dost, notwithstanding the poor and untempting effect of my visage. Thou hast me, if thou hast me, at the worst, take me, take a soldier. Take a soldier, take a king. In other words, she had the hots for him. He could feel it in his loins. Did you get that?
In other words, yeah, I got the in other words a whole bunch.
Yeah, he could feel that she was like getting turned on. In other words, they were having a mutual attraction of a sexual nature that is often enacted out by human beings when they're in close proximity and they are aroused or in heat otherwise.
In other words, what he's saying is they were attracted to each other.
Yeah. That's why they developed the word coitus, which I think is an interesting word. You don't hear people say to each other, well, coitus you. They don't. You just don't hear that. Or he's coitused up, you know. They don't say that.
That is the funniest thing I've heard today. I have to laugh at that one. What the coitus?
Get the coitus off of me. I think we should start a trend.
I love it, Errol. That's really funny. In other words, boy, oh, you can figure out all the other words for that one, people.
Yeah. See, language is such a delightful little place to hang out in. It's so wonderful, and words and what they can do and the meanings that they can generate. It's just, well...
Feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been. And they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up, words can break you down. Start a fire in your heart or put it out. Let my words be light.
my words be true. I don't wanna say a word unless it points the world back to you.
And that was Hawk Nelson singing Words. You can heal the heartache, one of the lyrics, speak over the fear. I like that. Speak over the fear. Imagine the fear's coming at you, which it does all the time. What would it be like to have other words that speak over the fear, Rochelle?
Wow, that's fear.
Oh, that's great. Wow, there's the fear. In other words, climb out from inside it. In other words, get out of that word if you're in that word, which is fear and all of its neighbors and cousins and allies. Wonder what some of those words would be. Guilt is one, for sure. It's a neighbor.
There are so many fear words that you can run out of them.
Well, let's do run out of them. I think that's a good thing.
I mean, you can't run out of them, is what I meant. There are so many words.
One of the things we've talked about before is something that I'm finding so significant in our own journey, which is the journey out and away from fear. We've talked about A Course in Miracles, and A Course in Miracles, of the many texts I've encountered, is the one that most directly just says, that's what's going on. You're either in fear or love.
I buy that. I bought it because I tested it.
How much was it?
In other words, it was priceless. Priceless is the word. And there's no price on it. And I just find that's true. I keep testing it and testing it. Because when I asked my higher mind, what is love? I was told that you would experience it as union, peace, creativity, connected joy, and non-resistance.
And chocolate. Don't forget chocolate.
Well, chocolate brings you to that state.
But I did want to say, kind of in other words, insight that I had, and I may have shared this before when we were talking about buying, but the difference between money and God.
You did talk about it, but say it again, because it's worth repeating, in other words.
Uh-huh. Okay. They're so formidable. First of all, they both offer a promise. You've heard this phrase, a promissory note. A dollar is a promissory note. That's what it is. With that as the backdrop, money offers the promise of value that can be measured. God offers that which has immeasurable value.
In other words, I agree.
That's it? That's all we agree? That's what happens on Inside Out. We get stuck when we agree. And that's why we do this show every Tuesday night.
We get stuck when we agree.
I got stuck, obviously. But I'm not stuck now, thanks to you. In other words,
he was being kind.
Perhaps. I think I was also being truthful. And that goes back to another major thing that we want to kind of emphasize for those of you who are out there. If you're, we don't know what's causing that, but we think they're not hostile, they're just confused. We don't have to hold on to anything. Every moment, every second is a moment of forgiveness. A Course in Miracles emphasizes forgiveness as the vehicle that helps us break out of the fear, get over the fear, and move toward the love. Because what forgiveness does and the ways it functions is that when you're inclined to hold on to something that is already rapidly moving back into the past, but you still try to hold on to it and keep it moving it to the present and interpreting the present information through that filter or lens, but it's gone and it wants to go, and we're not obligated to hold on to any of it except that which nourishes our knowledge and wisdom and ability to interact more creatively, harmoniously and productively with life.
But that's an intention. And the way you get there is what we always hold on to. We hold on to means, I think, much more than anything else.
You lost me. Could you give me some other words besides those?
In other words, humans are always motivated to do something, to do some action. You don't do anything unless you have to. I mean, nobody goes to the bathroom if they didn't have to go to the bathroom. It's that simple. In other
unless
words,
you're like being tortured or something, would that be another word?
Yeah, but you still have to go to the bathroom even if you pee on somebody's head.
There's an image for you. Okay. Let that one go into the past, like, gone. Next.
In other words, who said this? In order to spiritualize your life, you have to spiritualize your intentions.
Desires.
Desires.
It was Thomas Merton.
Yeah, it was Thomas Merton. And I love that because I realize that as I want to become one with the mystery, as I want or choose to become one with someone, the means show up. Now, I can get stuck in the means. Oh, this is the only way I can do this. And then I'm limiting myself. Because it worked for my grandfather and it worked for my uncle, and that's the way they get there. And it may take 200 years, but I'm committed to that.
And who's counting?
Right. So in other words, when I spiritualize my desires, what happens is the help I need to get there arrives, and it may not be anything like I think it's going to be.
It usually isn't. That's what's remarkable and delightful about it. Speaking of, in other words, we mentioned Thomas Merton. You may not know who Thomas Merton is. He was quite a wordsmith. I'm talking to the hypothetical you who are out there listening. Thomas Merton was a Benedictine monk. He died, I think, in the 50s or 60s, and he was an artist. I don't know the details. Had some kind of experience, and he joined a monastery, but he continued to write. And he had some of the most insightful, illuminating perspectives on the spiritual journey. I clearly would put him in as one of my main teachers. He was the one who said, and this ties it in with The Course in Miracles, about the ego. What is the ego? Thomas Merton says the ego is a spasm.
In other words, you get stuck in it.
It's like a muscle spasm. In other words, you get so caught in contradiction that you just spasm up. Contradiction being everything in your being is moving toward love and wants to expand out into greater love, greater expression of that liquid, molten goodness vibration that's permeating across the land. And then there's this other part that wants to hold back. The fear, it's going, but no, I don't know, no, it could be bad, and it's holding it back. And so you've got these two forces, because love respects your will. If you want to stay connected to fear, that's okay. But that's the spasm, the urge to give more and the urge to hold on for fear of losing yourself.
So in other words, the ego becomes the contradiction. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It ego is the contradiction.
Yeah, because love has no beginning, middle, and end. Love is endless. Every time you try to pin it down, which is what the ego does all the time, you are becoming the ego. Some people think of the devil, the force in you, as almost describes what we think of as the ego. But it's not even because we know that it's different, because the ego is not just doing bad things. The ego is constantly doing things to assert itself so it knows it exists.
Yeah. If it's good and we can market it and sell it, we'll package it.
Exactly, and we do.
And there's a lot of that kind of packaging going on.
In other words, consumerism is like a direct product of the ego.
It's a mad, frantic attempt of the self to grab on and hold on to the finite for dear life. That's what it is. In other words, backpedaling into unreality as fast as I can.
Did you write that?
I thought it first, but then I wrote it.
It came out of your brain, in other words.
It did come out of that brain, and that brain can be handy for some things.
Yes, for finding words, I think that you are a wordmeister. Every writer, everyone who has a need, and it is a need to express something in words, as somebody may have a need to express something in music. The need to express oneself, or what they see, or what you hear, or what you feel, is not in everybody in terms of that. But people still are expressing themselves, but not with that media. So I understand that. I love to use words to paint pictures, to express deep feelings and awarenesses, to channel my higher mind through the use of language, which I find so satisfying and edifying. In other words, it makes me feel good.
So here's a poem that I wrote, and I'd be interested in what words you might want to put as in other words. is called In the Chambers of My Heart. In the chambers of my heart there lies a restlessness, a rumbling noise that threatens to erupt and does, even though complacence hangs about my soul like a thin cloud waiting to be pierced.
Seems sad.
In other words,
this poor guy, I hope he has found what he was waiting for. He wanted it to be pierced, and I hope he got his...
Well, evidently, since I wrote this, it would have been me at that time who was having this experience, this contradiction of this restlessness, and yet there was this complacence. It's like you want to do it, but press the snooze alarm. Yeah, I got it, but I'm just not in the mood. That's my in other words of that poem.
Yeah. It's very interesting to realize that we yearn for that which we have.
There's the paradox. But I want to speak not just about words, and we've talked about words, but people don't know this, but there are actually word crimes. By Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, God bless him.
That's fun. If you want to read those things, because it went kind of fast, just Google it and ask for the lyrics. I do that a lot. It reminds me, I have to tell a quick story, probably one of the most humiliating moments of my entire life.
one of the most humiliating moments of your entire life. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's right up there. Yeah.
All right, let me hear.
We had produced our show, Family Baggage, and this company was marketing and selling it, and they also published books, and so I sent them my book. And the response I got was, this is horrible, this is terrible. Go back into school and learn to write. This is awful.
In other words, or those are the words?
Those were very much like those words and the other
heard,
ones.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I do remember that thing about go back to school and take some writing classes. In other words, he thought my writing was dreck, I guess. That would be a word. Would that be a word you'd use, Rabbi? A dreck, yeah. In other words, excuse me, this is Rabbi Greenberg. If you say something is dreck, you're thinking that it's like, rubbish. That's another word. Or smelly garbage, it's dreck. I can understand why you would feel so criticized, Errol. And that is someone to study your writing and you go back to school. So my question for you was, well, did you take the advice and go back to school? Obviously you needed to. Well, well, I didn't. So you didn't go back to school. So what made it different now? You think now the words are better now, even though you didn't? Well, wait a minute. I've been in the school of life. I've had a chance to relook at much of this writing, and I realized that one of the problems with the writing I sent him was that I wrote prose, you know, stories, and that really isn't my forte, I'd have to admit. Oh, so you're not a prose writer. I knew that about you. You're a poet, and so you should stick with the poetry, huh? Otherwise, they'll say you're a verstogene writer. I didn't like that feeling. Thank you. I think that was helpful. In other words, what, Michelle?
In other words, what I hear is that, you know, somebody's criticism of your work really humiliated, embarrassed, upset you. There was a song that became very, very popular, sung by Debbie Boone.
You Light Up My Life?
Something like that.
All right.
But anyway, when she was being featured with that song, it became number one on the hit parade and all that stuff, and whatever the hit parade was at that time. In other words, what she's told everybody was that this song had been rejected by so many people. Some people outright hated it. They thought it was just so syrupy and yucky, and it became the number one hit that year. She said that if you really believe in something, you don't give up. That was amazing. In other words, that's what you need to do. Don't give up.
So I applaud you for that, and that you didn't listen to the critics, Debbie Boone. It wasn't so popular in Germany, by the way. Yeah, we heard it, but, you know, not people didn't really understand the sentiments, but we understood it was popular in other places. I don't know if she's still around to appreciate that, but
Pat's daughter.
Pat Boone, he was someone of our time. Okay, let's kind of stop and review here. In other words, this is Inside Out, Naked Truth. We've all gathered together to have this conversation. We've looked at words.
We've looked at words as other words.
Yeah, words that were in other words. Like there are some words that are in other words that we didn't even get around to that. That's a whole other thing, is the words that are sitting inside the other words. Well, like that pneumono ultra microscopic silicon volcano coniosis. There's a bunch of words in that one word. Well, give me some other words as a way to close out the show tonight, would you, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. So don't.
In other words, don't push the river.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to our program. Again, if you were touched or moved, or if you have questions about what you heard, please contact us at estrider@gmail.com. And be sure and check out our website, thelaughingheart.org, where you'll find videos of our live performances, other episodes of Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and a variety of artistic works we've created. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.